Well, this first story, because we talked about this when I first came in here at 8 o'clock. You and I have a couple minutes to talk to each other before I come on the air. And when you're done with Bill, with Wake Up Kenosha.
Right.
And you started giving me the details of what happened. This is this double homicide, which wasn't even on my list because there was so much going on.
Right.
But the details were made public.
So the preliminary criminal complaint was released yesterday during the arraignment. The official one will go live, if you want to use that phrase, at 1 o'clock this afternoon is the hearing for the next phase of this case. 24-year-old Jesus Medrano. This was the incident that happened near Sheridan in 40, I think it was 46.
Was it like on the weekend?
It was, so Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning, that was it.
And okay. If you remember the timeline of this, we had the Blake decision, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Tuesday night. And so there was a ton of police out and a ton of media here on Wednesday morning for any potential riots or violence. And of course, none of that materialized. So everybody is here the next day, and then all of a sudden we hear reports of a stabbing. And initially, I kind of told Bill off the air, I go, well, I'm sad to hear that. I'm glad it's not connected to any of the, you know, the stuff the night before. And I go, and unfortunately, in Kenosha, there's violence. It happens.
Constantly.
I did not think it was to this level. This is less a stabbing, more a machete attack. That's exactly what it is.
So can we walk through this? So the alleged perpetrator is 24-year-old Jesus Medrano.
Living in this home with his 49-year-old father, 36-year-old stepmother, and four children. Most of them were, all of them, I think, were 15 or under.
Just
so
you know the street.
So 24-year-old Jesus Medrano is living with his 49-year-old father and 36-year-old stepmother, and that's where we are on this.
Four children in the home, and again, they're all 15 years old or under, so, and two of them sleeping in this bedroom. The 24-year-old allegedly, so this is all alleged, I'll just put this at the top. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he sneaks into the room and climbs into the bottom bunk where a 15-year-old girl is sleeping.
This a stepsister?
It's a relative.
Okay, that's what I said, a relative.
A relative. We don't know the exact relation there. And attempts to sexually assault her in the bed. Now, when she wakes up, as you might imagine she would, he is then, the criminal complaint says, tries to strangle her, to shove, I think, a sock in her mouth to try to get her to stop screaming. But it's a bunk bed, so the girl, who I think is 10, sleeping in the upper bunk,
up
wakes
up. Up on the upper bunk, there's a girl up there, 10 years old.
Right, she screams. And that, of course, wakes up the rest of the house. Now, when she screams, and this is the next, I think, significant part of the story, the 49-year-old father, 36-year-old stepmother come running in. And when they encounter the scene, he is already holding this machete. And at that point,
so he has a machete.
Correct. So this is not a pocket knife. This is not a 2-inch blade. This is, you know,
machete's a couple feet long. Yeah.
Yes.
More,
it's more,
maybe
more a sword than a knife.
I don't know. It's a big ass butcher knife.
There
is
you
what
go.
It is.
There you go. So this the parents walk in and he stabs the father. You know, this is grisly stuff. Stabs the father and then slashes his arm. And I do believe that the wound to the arm was so severe that it was severed or near severed at that point. The stepmother also gets stabbed.
So he stabs his father. This is all allegedly.
Of course.
Stabs his father in the stomach with a machete.
Right.
A machete's got a 2-foot to 3-foot blade on it. Okay. It's big.
Okay.
We all know that.
Right.
And then after he stabs his father, then whacks his arm with the machete and nearly severs the arm? Or did he sever the arm?
I believe the cause of death in both cases was traumatic blood loss.
Oh, sure.
And so when you can kind of imagine what this scene looked like in this bedroom. Now, the parents, obviously mortally wounded, at that point scream for the children, the three that are witnessing this, to get out of the house, and they do, and they run to a neighbor and call 911. Medrano, for his part, the suspect, also flees, tries to get to a relative's house. The cops at this point are on their way. They catch up with him, and still armed with the machete, tells the cops to shoot me, which they obviously don't. And he is taken into custody and was arraigned on this yesterday, $2.5 million bond.
So he's allegedly killed his own father.
Right.
He's allegedly killed his stepmother. He's allegedly tried to rape his 15-year-old relative.
Right.
And then tried to, can I say, allegedly suffocate her to stop her screaming?
And you can also allege suicide by police, attempted suicide by police.
Most machetes range from 10 inches to 28 inches, with 18 inches being the most common length. So foot and a half like this. We're on the radio, but you hold your hands a foot and a half, 18 inches apart.
And that's a hell of a blade.
Yeah, it's an enormous blade. It really is. I mean, they can be longer, obviously, but let's assume that's what it was, a foot and a half long. So now he's being held in custody on how much?
$2.5 million.
That's the highest bond we've ever reported.
And obviously, the seriousness of the case would, and you heard the court commissioner during the news talk about how grisly the evidence, the allegations are, and that precipitated it. And there's another hearing this afternoon, so I don't know if that will be adjusted or what will happen from there, but clearly it's not going down, and they want to keep him in jail for as much as possible. Yes, that is indeed the temporary bond at 2.5.
The highest bond we've ever reported?
I mean, usually $1 million is enough
that's
to keep
Kyle
somebody behind.
Kyle Rittenhouse got $1 million, and
usually
he's accused of two homicides.
And, of course, had the fundraising power, shall we say, to find that money. Not going to happen.
So couple other questions, Pete Sarzan, about this. There were four children in the house. Now, there was a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old. Those are the two girls sleeping in the bed.
So there were two 15-year-olds. The one is the victim, the 10-year-old in the bunk. And then there is a 6-year-old daughter that we think is actually the suspect's 6-year-old daughter. So there is multiple, this is a blended family that are all living under this roof. I know.
It's mom, dad, and kids and grandkids is what it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and three of the kids were able to escape out of a window.
And according to D.A. Gravely, the 6-year-old might have witnessed most, if not all of it as well. So.
Oh my God.
It's bad. Very bad.
Trauma. You know, everybody knows how seriously I take being a father, and I'm a father of daughters and sons, and I just can't believe, how traumatic this could be on a 6-year-old girl, little girl. I do believe that's the highest bond we've ever reported by a long shot.
And, of course, and you point this out every time, it bears repeating. In Wisconsin, they expect you to have the whole thing. That's not like
10%
it's not
Illinois. In Illinois, you need $250,000. In Wisconsin, you need $2.5 million, and this isn't a high-profile political type thing that Kyle Rittenhouse became.